Bertemu kembali di Niaga Awani. Pada Rabu, Juai IQI melancarkan portal hartanahjuai.asia. Portal ini membolehkan pengguna Asia di luar China untuk membeli hartanah di serata dunia. Melalui portal baru ini dan juga portal juai.com sedia ada untuk pelanggan di China, Juai mempunyai 6 juta penawaran setahun di 91 negara. Menurut pengerusi eksekutif Juai IQI, George Schimmel, melalui platform ini, pengguna boleh mendapat akses kepada nasihat pakar dan data pasaran daripada Juai IQI. Menurut kenyataan media yang dihantar pada 20 Mei, Juai melaporkan pada 2019 menjual hartanah bernilai $1 bilion. Dan bersama kita untuk membincangkan berkenaan pelancaran ini dan situasi pasaran hartanah di tengah-tengah pandemik COVID-19 ini, kita bersama Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Juai IQI, Shan Said. Good morning, Shan. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Naila.
Right, Shan, so can you share with us the idea of launching this new portal for Asian buyers outside China, especially during this spread of COVID-19? Are buyers actually willing to make big ticket purchase?
Absolutely. You'll be surprised to know that last year, Asian and Chinese buyers accounted for $250 billion of 500,000 purchase of real estate in G7 countries. So that clearly reflects that Asian and Chinese buyers are out there for cross-border transactions. And cross-border transactions will eventually go up in these tempestuous times. We have seen at Juai IQI that most of the clients are now looking at other markets. And the focus is on Asia. And Asia is the growth story. This will get more momentum as we go along in 2020 or even in 21. So what we see that traditional markets like US, Canada, and UK will remain on the global investors' radar, along with Asian markets. We have seen a lot of traction in Malaysia, Vietnam, Thailand. So I think this portal is a game changer, not only in Asia, but for other markets as well.
So, Shan, which market and what kind of properties exactly are investors or buyers are looking at right now?
Naila, they are both. They are real estate and commercial as well. As you have seen, Alibaba purchased the biggest commercial estate in Singapore, amounting to $1.2 billion. That sends a very positive signal for Asian markets. Along with commercial, we have seen a lot of traction, as I shared with you, in real estate, especially in the residential space, in Malaysia, in Vietnam, in Thailand, in Philippines. So these markets will remain very attractive for not only for small ticket customers, but also for big ticket customers. And we see more and more family offices, endowment funds, sovereign wealth funds moving into the real estate. And those sophisticated and those smart investors who understand history and economics, they have always taken position in two asset classes. One is real estate and the other is gold. So these tangible asset classes will remain on the global investors' radar.
Right, Shan, the chairman, George Schimmel, stated that buyers can get access to market data and expert advice with this new platform. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I think we have been doing it Juai.com, which is the biggest portal in China. But with Juai Asia, as I said, this is a game changer for the property market. With this, clients, those sophisticated clients, can expect market intelligence report, boots on the ground, demographics information about the macro, global macro outlook, and many other variables, so that when clients, they go to this portal, they can get access to all these variables. And nowadays, those sophisticated clients are looking at global macro. To understand global macro and bring it down to a country-specific information, especially the market intelligence report, actually helps those clients to make smart decisions so that they stay ahead of the game.
Right, Shan, you have been very positive when it comes to the growth in Asia post-COVID-19, even though things seem very bleak at this moment. But maybe perhaps you've changed your mind, especially looking at, as of today, positive cases globally have breached the 5 million mark as of today. So how do you feel about that? Maybe you've changed your mind?
No, I still maintain the same stance that we have been sharing for the last 7 to 8 years. Asia is the growth story. Asia will create momentum for the global economy. The reason is very simple. You have demographics, you have modern infrastructure, and you have governments with money. If you look at advanced economies, they don't have money. They don't have policy instruments to spur growth. Look at ECB. They are trading in a negative interest rate. Bank of England and Fed are pondering over to have negative interest rates. Negative interest rates have never spurred growth for any economy. So look at Asia. China has come back into the market. So China, along with other Asian countries, will lead the growth story. Yes, Europe will come up with, but for Europe, for Japan, for US, it will take a much longer time. So the basic premise at IQI is there. We see demographics, young population, people with money, rising income, governments who are total control of the economy, and most importantly, labor productivity. At the end of the day, people drive the economy. So labor productivity in ASEAN or in Asia is much higher as compared to many economies in Europe or in Japan or for that matter in US.
Sean, maybe you're not alone in this positive outlook that you hold. You know, as we are entering the last month of the second quarter of 2020, many countries are now opening their economic activities, maybe not at its full capacity. But if you see the US and also many other countries, they're looking a bit more positive that the third quarter will be much better. Do you see this happening?
Yes, it will be slow growth initially and then things will start to pick up. So there are three ranges in this. You have short-term, mid-range, and the long-run. Short-term, yes, you will have some structural changes in demographics. You will have productivity issues. In the long-run, you have debt overhang, which many economies are facing. You have balance sheet composition changing at a very fast pace. In the mid-range, yes, economies will have some growth momentum. But growth momentum will happen in those economies where you have macroeconomic stability. Growth will happen in those economies where have dealt with this pandemic, COVID-19, much better than many economies. So I think in the mid-range, in the long run, we still see the growth is happening and the aggregate demand will come back in the economy, not in the short term, but also in the long run.
And Sean, do you foresee any new curveballs perhaps being thrown at the effort to curb COVID-19? You know, I was just speaking to a public health expert previously, and we were talking about the distribution of the COVID-19 vaccine once hopefully it's being developed. We're foreseeing a different challenge where now we're seeing the disparity between richer and poorer countries in their access to treatment of to COVID-19. But, you know, the next step will be the distribution of vaccines. So that's perhaps one of the issues that we will foresee in the coming months or in the coming years. What about you? Do you foresee any other challenges in this effort to curb COVID-19? Perhaps something to do with the disparity between rich and poor countries, maybe?
COVID-19 has been a wild card at the start of the year, and we have seen other variables coming into the market, especially economic confidence. So as you rightly said, yes, this is one of the variables. Everybody is expecting that the vaccine will come out and then it will take care of those countries that are facing some issues with this pandemic. In the long run, I think two variables are very important. One is macroeconomic stability and the second is productivity. Wherever you have macroeconomic stability and wherever you have higher productivity, those economies will move much faster and they will achieve a GDP growth. But those economies where you have lacking of macroeconomic stability, where you don't have economic confidence, where labor productivity is much lower, I think those economies will either have zero growth or they will have very slow growth. So I think things boil down to two variables. One is macroeconomic stability and the other is labor productivity. Yeah.
Now, Sean, we've got about 1 or 2 minutes left. Just to sum it up, how do you see the confidence of consumers as well as businesses in taking this partial opening of the economy at this moment right now? Are they still cautious or are they more confident? Because we see some sectors are still a bit reluctant to open up their businesses, for example, barbershops and whatnot. So how do you see this confidence right now?
Yes, Naila, you're absolutely right. There are precautionary behaviors coming up into the market, especially from businesses and consumers. We foresee that in the short run, yes, things will be slowed down. But eventually, if we draw parallels with China, China opened up in the last week of March, early April. So things were slowing down in China. But as I talk to you, we have got offices in Shanghai. Things are moving at a very fast pace. Consumers are back in the market. You have manufacturing and productivity going up. gains. So I think precautionary measures, the consumer behavior, the market sentiments will remain slow initially, but eventually it will pick up once the consumers feel that the markets have gained momentum and there is aggregate demand in the economy.
All right, thank you so much, Shan, for joining me today discussing about the new launching of the portal for Asian buyers outside China to perhaps look at property with IQI Juai. And thank you so much for joining me again. Terima kasih kepada Ketua Pakar Ekonomi Juai IQI, Shan Said. Sekian Niaga Awani bersama saya, Naila Huda. Salam hormat.